Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 22, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible-teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 11. Therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present, we keep on persuading men. We are well known to God, and I keep on hoping that we are also well known in your consciences. We are absolutely not commending ourselves to you, but we are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us for the purpose that you may have in your heart, divine viewpoint thinking, to answer those who pride themselves on externals, on the outside, on what is seen, but not on what is in the heart, maximum metabolization of Bible doctrine. Verse 13, for if we are out of our mind, insane, it is for the sake of God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. And then we just got started in verse 14, for the love for Christ motivates us. The love for Christ motivates us. Now, the Apostle Paul went all over the Roman Empire proclaiming the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. He went all over the Roman Empire establishing churches and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. But in Corinth, which was a huge metropolis in the ancient world, there were lots of churches that were established. And yet in Corinth, they had these believers set the world record for categories of reversionism. They were losers in every way you could possibly be losers. There were few that had the humility and the positive volition to learn and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But most of them were believers for years and years and years, and they were still spiritual babies. They had never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They lived their life in Satan's cosmic system. And yet the Apostle Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And since he does have virtue love brought to completion in his heart, he has the greatest motivation, the motivation of personal love for God the Father, and the motivation of personal love for Jesus Christ. And that motivates him to show impersonal love to all these losers in Corinth. And he's able to, and he does that. And these people called him you're insane, Paul. You're out of your mind. And the Apostle Paul loved them, and I notice you ladies now, you all have these shirts, thanks to Francis Cox. Impersonal love for all. Well, that's what the apostle, he didn't have one of Francis' shirts. But he had impersonal love for all those believers in Corinth. And so many of them were arrogant, living in the cosmic system. They accused Paul of being a fool, being insane, and he continued to love them with virtue love. And that's what is powerful in this paragraph here. We have here the virtue love brought to completion in the Apostle Paul's heart. And when we get to chapter 6, he's going to be teaching and saying, Paul and his team, Paul and Timothy and Titus and Silvanus, they all were spiritually mature believers. And he's going to say, we have been teaching the word of God to you, and our hearts are open wide, filled with doctrine, filled with grace and truth. And we've been teaching from that our hearts that have maximum metabolized doctrine. But you are living your life by your emotions. And then he says that he prays that they need to open wide their hearts. They need to get maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts and attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. And he's building that up here in chapter 5. He's going to really get rolling in chapter 6. Paul's ministry was very selfless. It was for the believers in Corinth, all of them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It was so that they might grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify God to the maximum. That's what Paul wanted for all of them. And so he loved them with impersonal love for all. And he was motivated to keep on teaching them because of his personal love for the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Paul's life was the expression of virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He had personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, which motivated his great impersonal love for all those believers in Corinth. Teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures demonstrated his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The faithful communicator who loves the Lord Jesus Christ feeds the Lord's sheep. For the love for Christ motivates us. That's as far as we got in verse 14. The post-positive conjunction gar is an illative gar, and the illative gar introduces a reason. The reason for the Apostle Paul's impersonal love for all the believers in Corinth to consistently and faithfully keep teaching them the grace and truth of the Word of God, and the reason for the Apostle Paul's impersonal love for all the unbelievers in fulfilling his royal ambassadorship and giving the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world is that he has that great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. For the love for Christ motivates us. Motivated Paul and Timothy and Titus and Silvanus. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are the two great motivational virtues, the virtue love. Personal love for Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ, motivates the spiritually mature believer to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And the Apostle Paul had lots of suffering for blessing, that unique category in the greater grace blessing package. The Apostle Paul had phenomenal greater grace blessings as a spiritually mature believer, and he had a lot of suffering for blessing. And his personal love for Jesus Christ and occupation with Christ enabled him, motivates the mature believer to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing that he might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. Personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ motivated the Apostle Paul to have impersonal love to all the believers in Corinth, to consistently and faithfully teach the grace and truth of God's Word. Personal love for Christ motivated the Apostle Paul to also have impersonal love for all the unbelievers and fulfill his royal ambassadorship, giving the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And that's coming up in our next paragraph. We're just about there, and we get to 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. Then the Apostle Paul will emphasize our royal ambassadorship. And that your royal ambassadorship, when you fulfill that royal commission given to you, that is your impersonal love to all unbelievers and presenting the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. For the love for Christ motivates us. Now we continue on in verse 14. Because we thus judge that. That's the King James Version. It just really is several places here. You read it in the King James, you just go, what is he trying to say here? This is the aorist active participle of the verb krino, plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun, houtos. Crino. Looks like that in the Greek, K-R-I-N, long O. Crino. Now, crino means to judge, to think, to consider. Also, however, crino also means to evaluate the facts and come and reach a decision. Evaluate the facts and reach a decision. And therefore, it means to decide or to come to a conclusion. And that's how it's used here, and that's how we'll translate it. And we have come to this conclusion. The demonstrative pronoun houtos H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos, demonstrative pronoun, correctly translated, this conclusion. And the participle is circumstantial, attendant circumstance, and you translate it. And we have come to this conclusion. So we have, for the love for Christ motivates us, and we have come to this conclusion. And then we have, if one died for all. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the numeral hais plus the aorist active indicative of the verb aposnesko plus the prepositional phrase huper plus the genitive plural of pos. Now, after verbs of decendi, and you've heard me say this many times, after verbs of decendi, verbs of knowing, thinking, saying, or in our verse, deciding, hati introduces an object clause, and you translate it that. And then the numeral hais. H-E-I-S. And the numeral hais in this verse means one and only one. And who is the one and only one? The Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. One and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then apothenesco. A-P-O-T-H-N, long E-S-K, long O, apothenesko. Now, literally it means to die. In our verse, it refers to the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. It refers to those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., when God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land, and then God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and imputed them to Jesus Christ on the cross, and then he judged them in him. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the spiritual death of Christ on the cross in its entirety. The active voice, one and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, performed the action of his salvation work on the cross, his spiritual death. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have the preposition huper plus the genitive. And we've had this enough times in here, you should have this all nailed down. H-U-P-E-R. Huper plus the genitive. Huper plus the genitive is the preposition of substitution. It means in the place of, instead of, or as a substitute for. And that's how we're going to translate it, as a substitute for, and then the genitive plural of pos. P-A-S, pos. And pos is for all. And that is every single member of the human race. That's unlimited atonement. 1 John 2, verse 2. And he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, the ones who believe in Christ, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So all the sins of all mankind were poured out on Christ and judged. He paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world so that potentially every member of the human race can have eternal salvation. Christ paid the penalty for all of their sins. But they have a free will, and they must use that volition to believe in Jesus Christ. So this is unlimited atonement. Huper plus the genitive of pos. One, the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father was the great motivating virtue that motivated our Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union to carry out and fulfill the incarnation plan of God the Father, Operation Grace. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his true humanity, he had to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He had to attain spiritual maturity and develop virtue love. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his true humanity, hypostatic union, developed personal love for God the Father. And that was the great motivating virtue that motivated our Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to willingly humble himself and to be obedient to the point of spiritual death, even death on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to willingly humble himself and to be obedient to the point of spiritual death, even death on the cross. Turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. Your mental attitude, your thinking should be the same as the mental attitude and thinking of Christ Jesus. In other words, divine viewpoint. Verse 6, who, Jesus Christ, being in very nature God, he is deity, the deity of Jesus Christ, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he kanaoed. He made himself nothing. That's the Greek word kanao. And this, the true doctrine of kenosis is the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes in order to carry out and fulfill the incarnation plan of God the Father. That's the true doctrine of kenosis. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. So in verse 6, the deity of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, the true humanity of Jesus Christ. In hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And he humbled himself. He humbled himself, total respect for the Father and his plan. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to willingly humble himself and to be obedient to the point of spiritual death, even death on the cross. 3, the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to have impersonal love for all mankind. And therefore to willingly go to the cross, to willingly receive the imputation of the sins of the world in his body, and to willingly receive the judgment for those sins. So the corrected translation, for the love for Christ motivates us. And we have come to this conclusion that one and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died spiritual death, his salvation work on the cross, for all unlimited atonement as a substitute for all mankind. And then goes on and says, then we're all dead. This is the particle ara plus the nominative plural of pos with the definite article plus the aorist active indicative of apothenesco. The particle ara looks like this. A-R-A, ara. The particle ara introduces a result, and you translate it as a result. And then the adjective pos. Once again, we have pos, P-A-S. And pos is all with a definite article. It's all of them, all who believe in Jesus Christ. And then apothenesco again, died. This is retroactive positional truth. This is the baptism of the Spirit. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, the individual is identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth. So that's what we have here. Identification with Christ in his death and burial. And we studied this on our Sunday morning class in Romans 6, verse 8, which says, now if we have died with Christ, and we have retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. So our corrected translation, for the love for Christ motivates us. And we have come to this conclusion that one and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died spiritual death as a substitute for all, with the result that we all died. Retroactive positional truth, identify with Christ in his death and burial at the moment of salvation. No, one. See, the King James sucks. But that's what I love. I look at the King James and a lot of times say, what in the hell is this saying here? And I tell God the Father that. What in the hell is the Holy Spirit trying to say? I say, whoever translated this, of course, a lot of the translators were unbelievers and they had all kinds of problems. But when you have studied in the original languages, the light goes on. It's beautiful. For the love for Christ motivates us. And we have come to this conclusion that one and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died his spiritual death on the cross as a substitute for all, with the result that we all died retroactive positional truth at the moment of faith in Christ. So one, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ are the two great motivational virtues. And this is where our Thursday night class and our Wednesday night class dovetail together and it's fantastic. So the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John were on the same page communicating the same great absolute truth of God's Word. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. John and Paul are right on the same page. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are the two great motivational virtues. Two, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are the invisible part of the spiritual life and virtue love. Invisible. I can't see your personal love for God the Father. I can't see your occupation with Christ. God examines your heart. And he knows where you are every moment of every day. But he knew about it in eternity past. God searching your heart is an anthropopathism for the omniscience of God. He knew all about you and what was going on in your heart before you were ever here. So personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are the invisible part of the spiritual life and virtue love. Three, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are related to our royal commission of our royal priesthood. Related to our royal priesthood. We have two royal commissions. We are commissioned a royal priest and we are commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are related to our royal priesthood. Four, as we fulfill our royal priesthood by living the spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, we develop the great motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. As we fulfill our royal priesthood by living the spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, we develop the great motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. Five, through the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, consistently and faithfully metabolizing Bible doctrine, we develop the motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. Through the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, consistently and faithfully metabolizing doctrine, we develop the motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Six, these great motivational virtues are invisible to mankind. These great motivational virtues are invisible to mankind. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 7. So in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, the great motivational virtue of occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for Christ, is related to our royal priesthood. So in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the great motivational virtue of personal love for Christ is related to our royal priesthood. 8. But coming up in 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, we're almost there. Coming up in 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all is related to our royal ambassadorship. Coming up in 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all is related to our royal ambassadorship. Nine, impersonal love for all is the visible part of the spiritual life and virtue love. Impersonal love for all is the visible part of the spiritual life and virtue love. Ten, impersonal love for all has great visible impact. Impersonal love for all has great visible impact to both man and to angels as we represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Impersonal love for all has great visible impact to both man and angels as we represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. 11, you and I, as royal family of God, we are God's representatives to the human race. We are God's representatives to the human race as a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. You and I are God's representatives to the human race as a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. 12. The function of the believer's royal ambassadorship is the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart from your royal priesthood. The function of the believer's royal ambassadorship is the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart from our royal priesthood. 13. So there are two royal commissions that are a key part of our spiritual life. Two royal commissions unique to the royal family of God in the church age, unique to each one of us. Our royal priesthood, which is invisible, personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, and our royal ambassadorship, which is visible, impersonal love for all mankind. This is a great class to have tonight, Francis, especially since all these women got all this impersonal love for all shirts. And I had no idea. God did. God set it up. You must be in fellowship. That's fantastic. 14. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine is the responsibility of our royal priesthood. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine is the responsibility of our royal priesthood. 15. While application of metabolized doctrine in our heart is the responsibility of our royal ambassadorship. While application of metabolized doctrine in our heart is the responsibility of our royal ambassadorship. The functional virtue of impersonal love for all is the dynamic testimony of the Christian to the human race. The functional virtue of impersonal love for all is the dynamic testimony of the Christian to the human race. And these believers in Corinth, they were associated with the greatest believer, maybe of all time, the Apostle Paul. And he had virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and he endured all kinds of suffering for blessing. And yet he continued to have impersonal love for all mankind, for all these Corinthians. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So the corrected translation of verse 14, for the love for Christ motivates us, and we have come to this conclusion that one and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died spiritual death for all, unlimited atonement as a substitute for all, with the result that we all died, retroactive positional truth. Now that brings us to verse 15. And that he died for all. This is the conjunction chi plus the aorist active indicative of apothenesco once again, plus our friend, the prepositional phrase huper plus the genitive plural of pos. The conjunction chi is a continuative chi translated and. The verb, apothenesco, is the same verb we had back in verse 14. It means literally to die. Once again, it refers to the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. It refers to those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. when God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land. Then God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and imputed them to Jesus Christ on the cross, and then he judged them in him. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the spiritual death of Christ on the cross in its entirety. The active voice, the Lord Jesus Christ, performed the action of solving mankind's problem of sin by his work on the cross. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And once again, we have the preposition huper plus the genitive, the preposition of substitution, as the substitute for genitive plural of poth, for all, unlimited atonement. And corrected translation, and he died, spiritual death, as a substitute for all unlimited atonement. 1 John 2:2. Now, the rest of this, pretty powerful stuff. That they who live, and this is looking at all of you, after your salvation, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. And you know, this isn't reality to the loser believer. It isn't reality to the baby believer. But when you grow up to spiritual adulthood, this is reality in your life. You're not living your life for yourself in arrogance. You're in preoccupation with self. You're living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get to that point with the Apostle Paul, Philippians 1:21. To live is Christ. To die is profit. That should be the thinking of every single one of you. You all should grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you are no longer living for yourself. You're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your life. We're only here a short time. When I was a youngster going to school, I thought I was going to be here forever. Seemed like time didn't even move. Now that I'm about 105 years old, evangelistically speaking, now it seems like time flies. Light speed. Well, almost every day, I can't believe how fast this month went. I know. So here we have that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves. This is hina plus the subjunctive of zao with the adverb meketi, plus the articular present active participle of zao, plus the dative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu. Hina plus the subjunctive. Now, 99% of the churches, I could say hina plus the subjunctive, and they wouldn't have a clue. I say it to you, and you go, "Ah, oh, I know that." Hina plus the subjunctive, H-I-N-A. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause. You translate it for the purpose that. And then we have the articular participle, and you should have got that down by now. An articular participle is substantival, and it functions as a noun. The verb is zao, and since it functions as a noun, you translate it, the ones who live. They who live, the ones who live. And the subjunctive of zao with the negative adverb meketi. M, long E, K, E, T, I, meketi. It's a negative adverb, and you correctly translate it, should no longer live. Should no longer live. And then the dative plural of the reflexive pronoun, heautu. H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautu. And heautu is for themselves. Now this is very powerful. And it's not true of most Christians today in America. Sad to say, this is not reality at all. And he died spiritual death as a substitute for all, unlimited atonement, for the purpose that the ones who live, believers with newness of life, should no longer live for themselves. Damn. Should no longer live for themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. That's who you should be living for. You should no longer live for yourself, but you should be living for him, Jesus Christ, who died for them and rose again. This is the conjunction Allah plus, and we have two articular participles. We have the articular aorist active participle of apothenesco, and we have the articular aorist passive participle of agero. So two articular participles. One aorist active participle, the other is aorist passive participle. Plus the conjunction chi. Plus the prepositional phrase huper plus the genitive again. And the genitive plural of autos. Now we start out with Allah. This is a big but. And for the spiritually adult believer and the winner believer, this is reality. For the loser believer, arrogant believer, believer living in the cosmic system, they'll never know this. Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. It sets up a contrast between, one, living for yourself with living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sets up a contrast between living for yourself with living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between living in arrogance with living in humility. Third, it sets up a contrast between living in preoccupation with self, with living in occupation with Jesus Christ. Sets up a contrast between living in preoccupation with self, with living in occupation with Jesus Christ. Fourth, it sets up a contrast between living in Satan's cosmic system with living the spiritual life. Five, it sets up a contrast between living in cosmic death with living in newness of life. So Allah sets up a contrast between living for yourself with living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sets up a contrast between living in arrogance with living in humility. Sets up a contrast between living in preoccupation with self with living in occupation with Jesus Christ. Sets up a contrast between living in Satan's cosmic system with living the spiritual life. Sets up a contrast between living in cosmic death with living in newness of life. And then the articular participles. We have of two verbs, one articular participle of apothenesco and articular participle of agero. They're both substantival. They both function as nouns. Corrected translation. But for the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Once again, the preposition huper is the preposition of substitution. The object of the preposition is the genitive plural of autos, them, as a substitute for them. So the corrected translation of verse 15. And he died, spiritual death, as a substitute for all unlimited atonement, for the purpose that the ones who live, believers with newness of life, should no longer live for themselves, but for the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again as a substitute for them. And if you have enough positive volition and enough humility, and if you are consistent and faithful in assembling in a sound doctrinal teaching church, eventually you'll get enough of metabolized doctrine in your heart that the light will go on. And the light that goes on is that you're here to live for Christ. That's why you're here. You're here to live for Christ. Not for yourself. You're here to live for Christ. And that is where you can identify with the Apostle Paul. To live is Christ. To die is profit. That is the mental attitude of the winner believer. To live is Christ. And you live your life for Christ. There's a million things that I could do. And then, well, there's nothing wrong with those things either. It's just that the Lord, just as he said to Peter, he said the same thing to me. Pastor Olson, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to go to Hawaii. I'm not going to, because that's the last place I'd ever want to go is Hawaii. No, I think I'll go to Disneyland. No, it's the last place I would ever want to go is Disneyland. I want to go. I'm going to go to McDonald's. No, that's the last. I wouldn't go to McDonald's if that was it. If all that was left was McDonald's, I would starve to death if that was it. Would never go to McDonald's. No. I've come to the point where I'm not here to live for myself. I'm here to live for Christ. And when you, if you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and reach spiritual adulthood, the light will go on in all of your hearts, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that. To realize that to live is Christ. So here is this great verse. And he died spiritual death as a substitute for all unlimited atonement, for the purpose that the ones who live, believers with newness of life, should no longer live for themselves, but for the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again as a substitute for them. You know, you realize that He gave all for you. He gave all for you. And yet, so many Christians can give almost nothing and for the Lord. But not for the winner believer. So you see, this is a great, great passage. And it's just going to keep getting greater. We go from the royal priesthood to the royal ambassadorship in verses 18 to 21. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.